Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
All right, into it, people. You know what it is. The best time of your day. Of course it is. The best hour of your day. Impressively. Absolutely, yes. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's a solo mission. It's a Sports Grid Network. It's SiriusXM Channel 159. And the topics we got to get to today are sensational. Now, you know me. I have the day off on Tuesday. Come back in on Wednesday, full force. Host the show before this, the early line for 3 hours. Come right on the radio. Pop off. Get after it. Thanks for everybody who joins us each and every day here on Moneyline. Kevin and I certainly appreciate it. If you're in the chat box here, Sports Grid on demand on YouTube. The best way to watch the radio show, fantastic, get in the chat box, say hello. Obviously, sportsgridradio.com. You also have sportsgrid.com, the Sports Grid app. So many different ways to watch and listen. We thank you for all your support here, but you know how we get down. The hot topics start the show, but I have so many focuses today on the NFL that I want to get through. Thursday Night Football, which again, we'll talk about ad nauseum tomorrow, but it is a very big game for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders. Then you get to Sunday's NFL action, the 1 o'clock action, where it has, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. That's an unbelievable game there. And then 4:25 from Buffalo, it's the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to start to hit some projections on those games, as well as take a look at some of the prop bets there, those major games, and also the MVP markets. But before we get there, I like college football. I absolutely love it this year. I adore it. The fact that we have the 12-team playoff coming in is absolutely sensational, much-watched TV. And I said before the season, this is going to be the single best college football season we've ever seen, and it's living up to that and more. Every single game, it feels like matters. Normally, when we're talking in mid-November, there's 4 to 5 teams that might actually have a chance to do something. Now, we have 15 to 20 teams that have the ability to do something, which means get into the National College Football Playoff, which is going to be awesome to watch it play out. If we are looking right now, let me just bring up the anticipated numbers, or should I say games, that we could get from college football. Number 2, Ohio State, hosting Boise State. Number 4, Penn State, hosting Ole Miss. Number 5, Indiana, hosting Alabama. Number 7, Tennessee, hosting Notre Dame. I mean, can you picture a better Friday, Saturday slate and what you have in college football when we start getting these playoff games? It's wonderful. It's awesome. It's sensational. It's absolutely everything I've dreamed of and more. Here's the question. As you guys know, I'm not a big fan of these television shows that they have. College football rankings are out. I used to laugh at it the past couple years when only 4 teams got in and all they would do is play with you between the 6th seed, the 5th seed, the 4th seed, and the 3rd seed. Jumble them around 1 week, change them the next week, make people keep tuning in and talk about these stupid points that they have left and right. That's neither here nor there anymore. That's in the past. We're not worried one bit about those. Here's what we are worried about now. This was the thought process coming in. And beggars can't be choosers sometimes. But you know me. I like to be commissioner of all sports. I like to be the end-all be-all because I think like the common man. Here's what should happen here. Regardless of what you want to happen. We go from 4 to 12 teams. It was awesome. It's a no-brainer. Every other, like FCS, Division II and Division III, have way more teams in their playoff than 12. Division three, I think, goes up to 32 teams. It's awesome. It's the way it should be. The more people at the end of the season play more meaningful football and get rid of the bowl system, which is ridiculously horrendous and no need for it anymore. But that's not the conversation I want to have today. I want to look at that top 12. Oregon, number one, absolutely. Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana, BYU, Tennessee, Notre Dame, Miami, and Alabama, they round out the top 10. Fantastic. Love it. Those are going to change. Absolutely. Now, you ready for this one? Number 10 is Alabama. I have no issue with that. They absolutely destroyed LSU, took them apart. They're in the SEC, the toughest division in football, conference, I should say. Take a look at Ole Miss, sitting 8-2, moved up five spots, now in the 11 seed. Season ends today. They're in the college football playoff, and rightfully so, they hammered a good Georgia team, or at least what we thought was a good Georgia team right now, right? Number 12 in the standing is that same Georgia team that dropped nine spots by getting hammered by Ole Miss. They sit at 12. So, based on the college football playoff rankings, right? Top 12 teams get in. All right, Georgia, you're in there. Wait a second. You see who sits 13th? That's Boise State at 8-1 overall. They actually dropped one spot from 12 to 13. But Donnie, if the season ended today, it's the top 12 teams. No, it's not. No, it's not. Georgia would be left out for Boise State, who would climb in. Now, I do want to say this. We always knew that we would have arguments, whether it's the top two, the top four in the old BCS patterns, the top 12, and when they expanded to 24 teams, we'll argue about the 25th team. It's just what we do. But for me, my goal is, I like to say, commissioner of all sports, I want to get the best 12 teams in the championship rounds, and that's the only way you can look at the college football playoff. But for some reason, they had to include the group of five, like it's the Make-A-Wish Foundation. It never should be this way. You should be in on merit. I actually don't even like that. Hey, if you win your conference, you get the automatic bye. I don't believe that should be the case either. If you win your championship in your conference, of course, you're the best team in your conference, and you probably should go. But I don't want a bad conference year like the ACC is having, leaving out one of the teams in the SEC, which would smash any team from the ACC. See where I'm going with this point? And to further that point, Boise State is a good story. They have a great running back who's up for the Heisman. Do I think he's going to win it? I don't think so. Probably going to come down to Travis Hunter in this point, and maybe one of these quarterbacks like a Dylan Gabriel have some big moments here coming up with some big football games. But if he does win it, that's fantastic. It's great for college football. He'd well deserve it. He's doing having a record-breaking season. The kid is phenomenal. Looks like a great kid. He's going to go to the NFL and do big things. But did I not see the look-ahead line? Because you know Vegas is quick and the odds makers are quick. Here's what doesn't make sense. Boise State getting in over Georgia. Donnie, they deserved it. They only have one loss. Their loss was to Oregon, the number one team in the country. Understand that I do. But if you line Georgia and Boise State up side by side, that spread, 19.5 points. Georgia is favored over Boise State. So I understand it's not the end-all be-all, and records do matter. But if the goal of what we're trying to do with the college football rankings to get into the playoffs is get the best 12 teams in, we're not doing that. And that's the disservice that's being made. And I say this again, there's a long way to go in the regular season. These things typically work themselves out. Boise goes undefeated. They're probably not going to stay at 13th here. They will move up the charts at least one, two, maybe three, four spots, depending on who's in front of them. If Alabama suffers another loss, they got three losses, they probably won't be ranked ahead of it. But when you're talking about lining teams up side by side to get the best teams in there, one team is three touchdowns better than the other, and that team's not going to go, that's just a little bit unfair. But as I said, Georgia's got a big game against Tennessee. If Georgia wins this week, they're going to jump other teams here, right? Tennessee's going to fall from 8-2 and go below Georgia. So it does have its way to work out. But the way I just look, and it gets me so fired up, when I see the standings, knowing the top 12 teams, this is who we think is the best in the country, that 12th team can't play in the end-all, be-all college football playoff because we have a group of five team that has to actually be sprinkled in. That's ridiculous. That shouldn't happen. But again, it's going to work itself out, and that's why I don't have any issues. Look how about Colorado sneaking up there, right? Moved up three spots into 17. There's a chance that they can sneak their way in. SMU and the ACC. Heck, if they just win the ACC, they're automatically in there, which again brings up an interesting thought process. But then Miami would probably drop out at that point. There's so much longer to go. Like Indiana, who's played absolutely nobody on the season. 2 weeks, they're going to take on Ohio State. How's that going to work out if they lose? They just stay up there because they have one loss but didn't play anybody? A lot of things will be worked out on the football field, and I'm here to watch it play out. I just wish last night that exact scenario that I hate is coming to fruition right now. The top 12 team that shouldn't be in there in Boise State could make it in. Long way to go. Let's get to the NFL next. It's Donnie Wrightside right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And it starts on Thursday night, so why don't we go there? Tomorrow we'll talk about this game a lot, no doubt about it. But I just want to get that fresh look at this point now. Washington, Philadelphia, primetime, Thursday night football. One team 7-2, the Philadelphia Eagles. One team 7-3, the Washington Commanders. Absolutely great game. Thursday night, you know me. I usually lean towards the home team. I do think the Philadelphia Eagles are the better team overall, and I think they have them in their own building. That gives you the advantage. And the odds makers are looking at that as well. FanDuel opened up as a -3-point favorite for Philadelphia tomorrow. They now sit at 3.5 at -115. Across the board, looks like the prevailing number, 3.5. The total, 49.5, now dipping a little bit to 48.5. The one thing now we're going to have to start to getting used to is checking the weather conditions. Today, you know me, live in southern New Jersey. I would say now about 25 minutes to a 30-minute drive outside of Philadelphia. I woke up this morning to 30-degree temperatures. That's a first. We've been having like an Indian summer here all throughout the fall. 60 degrees, 70 degrees, highs 80 degrees at sometimes here in the month of November. No rain ever in the forecast. And wind speed's not really all that bad. Tomorrow night in Philadelphia at kickoff around 8 o'clock, 45 degrees, precipitation around 10%. So we're not really expecting any rain or anything, but could possibly have a little bit of it. And windy conditions, not necessarily. They're under 10 miles an hour. So very good weather still for November, but not the weather conditions that we've been looking at the past where every single game it felt like it was playing in a warm fall afternoon. Jaden Daniels has been a wonderful quarterback for the Commanders this year. Jalen Hurts starting to play much, much better football. And they did have some turnovers last week. Took a sack fumble and also threw an interception. Didn't mind because the Cowboys are a horrendous team. The Eagles blew the doors off them. We watched the Washington Commanders take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was a great football game. The Steelers end up picking that win, which means now, technically, the Philadelphia Eagles are in first place in the NFC East. That could change tomorrow night with the Washington victory, or the Philadelphia Eagles can pad their stats on that NFC East margin by beating the Commanders at home. Let's take a look at how this game should play out in my mind. Two very good offenses getting after it. If we're looking at the line itself, 3.5, am I in love with taking the Eagles at the 3.5? Not necessarily, because I do think Washington's a very good football team. But the Eagles also activating that practice window for Jordan Mailata. The Eagles also cutting a tight end to free up a roster space that hasn't been used yet in anticipation. It looks like it's going to be Jordan Mailata, their left tackle. They need him back for this one. It looks like they're on the way to that. So the Eagles have that very good offensive line back intact. Saquon Barkley has been tremendous. And as we said, Jalen Hurts looks like he's somewhat putting away those turnover tendencies, even though he had two last week, stepped up and still played a good football game after those turnovers in the first half. Eagles mauled the Dallas Cowboys. But also, last week, as we sat on the Pro Football Today set, I said to myself from an Eagles perspective, I don't know if I can lay the 7.5 with the Eagles against Dallas. Not because I think Dallas is a good football team, because they're not, but there was a lot of question marks. How was Dallas Goedert going to play in that game coming back from the hamstring injury? No worse for the wear. Devontae Smith, who was battling a hamstring injury throughout practice week last week, made it through that football game. He looks to be fine. A.J. Brown, who left the previous game with a knee injury, played last week and looked fine himself. So now you're telling me all the Philadelphia Eagles are full go in the defense that's playing better. That is an advantage towards them. If we are looking at the 48.5, yes, technically I think it goes over because you have two very good offenses going toe-to-toe. I think the Eagles defense gets a slight nod over the Washington defense at this time that most people probably would agree with that. They've been playing great football. Zach Bond looks like the best linebacker in football out of nowhere when he was supposed to be a backup linebacker slash special teamer and maybe rush the passer. He has been absolutely sensational. Now, let's take a look at the markets here. And we'll just go with FanDuel just to keep it simple. Anytime touchdown score for tomorrow. Saquon Barkley listed at a -180 price. Jalen Hurts at a -110. So two Philadelphia Eagles started off. Austin Eckler. And you know what? Let me get the practice report, because I just want to see what's going on in Washington. As you saw last week, Marshawn Lattimore, I know yesterday did not practice, and that doesn't bode well here for him playing this weekend, or this Thursday night, excuse me. Didn't practice on Monday, didn't practice on Tuesday. Now, they are light reports, but they're estimations if he had a full practice, if those players, what their participation rates would be. He didn't practice at all. Brian Robinson did get in limited practicing on Monday and Tuesday with that hamstring injury. I don't know if I can trust him there. So that's why Austin Eckler comes in at a plus 115 price with Brian Robinson. That number certainly will change if Brian Robinson doesn't play. But if he does play, the chance of re-injuring that hamstring, always on my mind. So if I'm taking a running back from a Washington perspective, anticipating that, yes, both of these guys play, it's probably still going to be Austin Eckler for me at plus 115. Do I think Saquon Barkley scores? Yes, but it's apparent on this team, they don't worry about feelings. Saquon Barkley has been a great teammate all the way through, saying all the right things, but that's not going to get him to carry the ball in the goal line, and I think he understands that now. If that ball is in, you know, pass interference in the end zone, lining up around the 1.5-yard line or in, that is a quarterback sneak each and every time, and it proves worthy of it. So when you're trying to factor in, is Saquon going to score, and maybe if they're on the goal line, he gets the carry, he never gets those carries. But he's still listed at a minus 180 because, yes, he can score from the 10-yard line, from the 8-yard line, from the 7-yard line, from the 5-yard line, from the 20-yard line, from the 50-yard line. He can do that. I think Saquon Barkley has a legitimate chance to score. Minus 180 price, are we betting that? I'm not so sure. Jalen Hurts at a minus 110. That ball's inside the two. That's an automatic touchdown. It's almost hard to pass up, and it's crazy that he is still priced around that plus 100 range. But I'm telling you right now, the guy that I have my focus on right now, and his price point is dropping a little bit, it's A.J. Brown. It's a plus 130. A.J. Brown, now coming back off that injury, got right in Dallas against a secondary that looks like it's, again, going to be without Marshawn Lattimore. I think the advantage is there in that touchdown market for A.J. Brown. Terry McLaurin has been very good this year. After doing cardio, as he said, last year, with a terrible offense, with a terrible offensive coordinator in Eric Bieniemy, he's back to the basics and lighting it up. He's listed at a plus 160 price. But if you're headed into this football game, Donnie, give me one player that you're probably taking tomorrow to score an anytime touchdown. I got to tell you, it's probably between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown right now. Both of those guys, Philadelphia Eagles. From a Washington perspective, it's Austin Eckler, and it's probably going to be listed there as Terry McLaurin. Zach Ertz coming back to Philadelphia at a plus 320 price is interesting. As they get into the red zone, he doesn't run all that well. He can catch one in the end zone and fall down. It all counts the same as 6 points here. Let's take a look in this game, maybe at some of those passing, receiving, and rushing props as well. We've got a long way to go. We are setting the table for Separation Sunday in the NFL. It's on the right side of the Sports Grid Network. I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rocking and rolling right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission. Can't wait for this weekend's action here in the NFL. Starts tomorrow on Thursday night. We're just previewing it right now. Just getting that fresh approach to get you ready tomorrow. Again, on Moneyline, we'll hit this game hard. Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels, two really good quarterbacks in the NFL. 224.5 passing yards here as his prop for Jalen Hurts. Jaden Daniels coming in at 226.5 touchdown passes. Over 1.5 for Hurts at plus 126. Over 1.5 for Jaden Daniels at plus 136. So as I look at those two numbers here, it's interesting because the Eagles do ground and pound a lot, but you will have the opportunity for Jalen Hurts to throw many yards, which means over 225, and throw for multiple touchdowns at over 1.5, because I do think you're going to get a really good effort out of Jaden Daniels and that Washington offense. Past couple offenses the Philadelphia Eagles have faced, it's safe to say they weren't technically the best that you're going to find in the business. But make no mistake about it, the Eagles in their five-game win streak have played very good defense. Look at the Browns game, gave up 16 points. One of those was on a block, a touchdown was on a blocked field goal in that game. You take a look at the Giants game, only gave up 3. Bengals game, giving up 17 total points in that one in a 20-point victory there. Jaguars, 28-23. Jaguars also scored a touchdown on defense against the Eagles. So technically, maybe that's 16 points, and the Dallas Cowboys only 6. Jaguars don't have a great offense. Cowboys stink on offense. The Bengals have a very good offense. Even though T. Higgins wasn't there, you still think that doesn't matter? Like, oh, they beat him without T. Higgins. You see what that offense did for the Bengals versus the Baltimore Ravens? Yeah, they're pretty quality. But now the Eagles are taking on the Commanders in this one. So if you get a running mate, which means let's score anywhere between 17-plus points, I think Jalen Hurts does throw for over 224 in that game. And also I think there's a legitimate chance that Jalen Hurts can throw for more than two touchdown passes or more. The question mark is, we know they love to score on the ground. Saquon Barkley on the ground, yes. By the way, Saquon Barkley in the air is a pretty good one. But I do think A.J. Brown, again, has a big night, which includes a touchdown. But I'm not hating on either one of those. Jaden Daniels, 226.5. I think that does make some sense. Because if I think the Eagles win that game, maybe some extra passing in the fourth quarter. Receiving props in this game. A.J. Brown's a lead dog, and it's rising. It was in the high 70s earlier this week. 77.5, 78.5, 79.5. That now sits at the FanDuel Sportsbook for A.J. 82.5. Terry McLaurin, 60.5. Noah Brown, 37.5. Zach Ertz, 34.5. Saquon at 14.5. We don't have any odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook just yet on Devonta at this point. Because we're still waiting on practice reports. Is he okay? Is he 100% fine? But I am a big fan this weekend of AJ, no less. Rushing yards, nothing listed for the Washington Commanders, and rightfully so. Waiting on Brian Robinson injury news. Is he going to give it a go? Is he going to play? How healthy is he going to be? I understand that. Saquon Barkley, you're not getting any cheapies here anymore. Nick ain't anything cheapies in this game at all. Like, you know, 225.5, something that, you know, passing yards, I was saying, on Jalen Hurts could be doable. But Saquon, 91.5, basically has hit the century mark. Jalen Hurts, 38.5. So that's one of those that's interesting as well. But that game tomorrow night is going to decide a lot here in the NFC East. Washington wins. They climb back in first place over the Eagles and take the Eagles down in their own building, which would give them the, obviously, tiebreaker for the time being. Game number two will take place down at Northwest Stadium, which still sounds odd to say, in Washington. And we'll see how that one plays out. But as I said, Separation Sunday, as I want to set up and talk about over the next segment or two, you got some great football games coming up on Sunday. You almost have the perfect, you know, layout, too. Thursday night football game, tremendous. 1 o'clock football card, Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers at home getting 3 points from the Ravens. Total in that game listed at 48.5. Let me get a look at those weather conditions here in that game. How about this? Sunday in Pittsburgh, mid-November, 53 degrees at kickoff. It'll get as high as 57 degrees. No precipitation in the air, and a wind speed 3.5 miles per hour. Awesome. Love to see that. Don't have to worry about anything like, oh, what cold it's going to be and what those offenses will do. That total at 48.5 tells you a lot. And I'm looking right now at FanDuel. I don't even have any odds up here for any of the rushing props, for any of the passing props at this point here. So we're just flying blind in this one. But if we are looking, you know Lamar Jackson is sensational. You know he's going up against a pretty good pass rush that even is a little bit injured with Highsmith that looks like he's going to be out this weekend. But the Baltimore Ravens secondary can be had. You saw last week 3 touchdown passes out of Russ. Was he ultra efficient? No, not necessarily. Basically 50% in the passing game. Had the 1 turnover, but that was like a punt. Throw it up in the air on 3rd down, got intercepted. George Pickens tapped some guy down. So it was like a 50-yard punt at that point. But these two quarterbacks going toe-to-toe, boy, the balance of power that could shift in the AFC North to legitimate contenders in the Pittsburgh Steelers if they win could happen. Or is it the same old hat? We thought the Ravens were the best team in that division. They are going to show up on Sunday as the best team in that division. We'll be right back right on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Donnie Wrightside.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, right back at it. Had to go to another sportsbook, Bet365, to find some of those odds here for Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m., Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. Anytime touchdown market, Derrick Henry, it's expensive, minus 200. Najee Harris, plus 110. Ooh, that catches the attention. Lamar Jackson, the score, plus 150. That looks great. Zay Flowers, plus 160. George Pickens, plus 160. Mark Andrews, plus 210. Jaylen Warren, plus 210. Man, it's going to be fantastic. How about some of the passing props? Let's head down here. All right, so we'll go passing yards. Lamar Jackson, 235.5. Russell Wilson, 226.5. If we're looking at receiving yards in this one, Rashad Bateman, who came to life in his last game, 34.5. That's doable. Zay Flowers, 58.5. Pat Freiermuth, tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers, 26.5. George Pickens, 65.5. And Darnell Washington, listed at 8.5. By the way, shout out to the people in the chat box out there hanging with us today. D Money, Jerry Edmond, obviously Jordan P. Guys always in there. Love it. Chris Brady's in here again. Chris Warren just showed up. So shout out to the guys keeping it live out there, sharing the information and keeping it rolling on Sports Grid Demand right here on the Sports Grid Network. That's the YouTube channel. Keeping it live for the people that want to watch a radio show as if it was TV and interact with the host. Who says no? Certainly not those people out here. Receiving yards in this game. Who are we missing here? The Pickens 65.5. Washington 8.5. That's the big tight end. Freiermuth. Not getting any action from Mike Williams just yet. You know they'll settle in on that one. If you think Derrick Henry basically has a catch, his number sits at 4.5. I do like Zay, but boy, Rashad Bateman. More into that. And also, Deontay Johnson going back to Pittsburgh. How does that feel? He hasn't shown up at all. And quite frankly, blew one of my low-end parlays where it was a no sweat. He was the missing link, and he fell down on a play, which would have been at least 30 to 40 yards on a completion here. Man. How about that? And by the way, big news coming out here. I don't know where this is. The press conference going on now? Because I didn't see this show up just yet. Let me just go on my information here on Pro Twitter. There we go. The Colts are going back to Anthony Richardson as their starting quarterback this week against the Jets and for the rest of the season. Seems like the right move to make after what you got out of Joe Flacco the past 2 weeks. Tried to change things up, but also change things up for the better here for Anthony Richardson. Got to sit down, got to maybe be a professional. Put some time in behind the scenes and obviously won back the attention of his coach and the football fans. Now let's see what Anthony Richardson has to go and see if he can beat down the Jets. Jets defense stinks. He should be able to do some damage. And they're probably watching like, you know, Flacco's standing in the pocket. Jets might be able to get to him. I don't know if the Jets are going to be able to get to Anthony Richardson. That's an intriguing game coming up. So another one there on the list as like an eliminator, right? Loser of that game's out of the playoffs. I don't think at this time that the Colts will make it, but there's a better chance that they make it than the Jets make it because the Jets look absolutely dead and buried. All right, let's keep moving forward here. Because again, selection Sunday? No. Separation Sunday? Absolutely this weekend. Let's get to one more of those games, which you know we're going to love. Kansas City and Buffalo. Let me go to the FanDuel Sportsbook to see if they actually have the numbers we need here. All right. 1.5s now into 2.5s here for the Buffalo Bills, and I agree with that. We had our poll on SportsGrid, at SportsGrid right here on Twitter/X. Who is going to win this football game? Was it going to be the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills? I voted for the Buffalo Bills. I think they get it done. I do. I think the Bills win this weekend. But if you tell me Kansas City comes away with a victory, I'm not shocked. I'm not amazed. I saw it last year in the playoffs. Thought the Buffalo Bills would beat them. Nope. Couldn't do it. Kansas City's undefeated for a reason. The bare minimum. If they need to score, they always score a touchdown. If they need a field goal, they always score the field goal. Hey, we're down late in the game. What do we need to do? 13 seconds left to go. They go down and score and win the football game. It's what they do. They're getting 2.5 points in this game. That total is 46.5. Let's get some updates here because we had some good weather in Pittsburgh, by the way. What do we got in Buffalo? Look at Buffalo. Look at Buffalo. November 17, 2024, 425. 55 degrees, no precipitation, and barely any wind. This is phenomenal, people. Absolutely phenomenal. Touchdown scorers in this game. Looks like they're locked up. FanDuel is just doing me dirty today. So let me go back over to Bet365 and see what we got at this 425 absolute barn burner. Where's the touchdown props? Player props, touchdown scores. Kareem Hunt, minus 125. Be careful with that one. Reason I say this is the practice window has opened up for Isaiah Pacheco, which means if they activate him, he's eligible to come back and he's going to play. Same thing I just talked about previously with Jordan Mailata. They activated him, cut a guy, looks like he's going to probably give it a go. Looks like a cheap price on Kareem Hunt. That might actually be an expensive price if Pacheco is able to come back. Not sure if he is or not at this point, but we'll find out. James Cook, plus 100. Love the kid for Buffalo. Josh Allen, the score touchdown, plus 130. Travis Kelce, good price here, plus 150. Scoring back-to-back weeks, can he keep it going? Khalil Shakir, one of my favorite slot wide receivers in the NFL for the Buffalo Bills, plus 162. Amari Cooper. If he's going to play. By the way, we have we probably don't have any practice reports yet for them. They'll be practicing today and give one over on Amari Cooper. I know he's struggling with that wrist injury. DeAndre Hopkins, who scored a couple times, he's a plus 240. Boy, you're getting some good prices. And Joe Lisi, if you're listening out here, Kincaid and Knox, plus 240 apiece. Sweet Baby Ray Davis, 240. Matt Collins, plus 260, so on and so forth. Curtis Samuel, forgot he was even on the football team at that point. So if we're going over some other player props in this game, let's look at the quarterbacks. And it's going to be a showdown, absolutely no doubt about it. Patrick Mahomes, 239.5 is his number. Josh Allen, 235.5 is his listed number here. Both of those guys, legitimate chances to go over. Receiving yards, Noah, and looks like we only have Kansas City Chiefs up right now, and rightfully so. Not sure who's playing, I guess, for the Buffalo Bills, so they just won't post any of them, even though Shakir's probably going to give it a go, right? We know that. The two tight ends. You have Noah Gray, DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelce, and Xavier Worthy. 15.5 for Gray. Hopkins, 51.5. Travis Kelce, 66.5. And Xavier Worthy, the young rookie wide receiver, at 26.5. Does FanDuel have any of these open? Are we all locked on this game? Passing. So they got receiving. The only thing they have on receiving is first quarter receiving yards for Travis Kelce. So filtering through some things, I guess, waiting on some of the practice reports or maybe getting some information of what those would be. But this game is going to be absolutely massive. Because if you're looking at the overall standings, right, and you're saying, okay, teams win and lose every single week, but as I call it, like Separation Sunday here, these teams are playing each other, and so much is on the line. Like if the Buffalo Bills can beat the Kansas City Chiefs and improve to 9-2, which would drop the Chiefs to 9-1. Now if you just tie them the rest of the way, you each finish at 14-3, even though I'm just using that number out there to put 17 games in there, the Buffalo Bills would get the nod. The Pittsburgh Steelers sit at 7-2. The Baltimore Ravens are 7-3. You beat them, you move to 8-2. You drop the Ravens to 7-4, and you have the tiebreaker. You get that breathing room that's put in there, which is so key. So that's why I love this. Same thing with the Philadelphia Eagles game, because the teams are starting to shape up. And again, we just talked about the Colts information that came through, which is Anthony Richardson going back to being the starting quarterback, Joe Flacco being shown to the bench, which I don't mind. I think they tried to try something because they weren't seeing a lot here out of their young quarterback, and maybe wanted him to be some of that, you know, mature process. Wrong. He's back in there. Hopefully he did mature, and I'm interested to see what he does against the Jets. I'll tell you another pivotal game, because we've got some other hot topics we'll get to after the break. But that is the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. I feel like the Chargers, talked with Tom Vecchio today on the early line, they're flying a little bit under the radar. They're getting healthy now at the right time. Let's look at that Chargers. No, three straight wins for them. They've actually won four of their past five games. They only lost 17-15 to the Cardinals. They crushed the Saints. They crushed the Browns. They crushed the Titans. Now they basically have an elimination game with the Bengals this weekend. Not for them, but the Bengals take another hit. That's going to be tough to try to recover from. Because they had to go one. I talked about they have to go 1-2 in these next three games. They already lost one of their games with the Baltimore Ravens. It's a three-game set. They need to go 1-2. So now they're down to two games to pick up that victory. Maybe they can get it this weekend, but the Chargers are so tough. Then the Chargers have the Ravens, the Falcons, the Chiefs, and the Buccaneers probably a little bit healthier. The Broncos fighting for a playoff spot. Crazy time, man. The NFL is so awesome. Separation Sunday about to be underway. We got more hot topics next. Make sure you keep the dial right here on Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My guy X-Man shows up in the chat box. You know he's here. You know he's around. It's Christmas season coming up here. Guys got to give out some gifts out here. Shout out to people in the chat box hanging out here with us on SportsGrid On Demand right here on the YouTube channel. Make sure you go there. Make sure you subscribe. Each and every day, I see more and more subscribers. It's great stuff. Great way to grow the channel. Great way to have some fun and interact with your favorite radio host right here on the Sports Grid Network. We did have NBA last night. By the way, before we get to the NBA, you know me, guys. I don't necessarily like college basketball before January starts, which we finally get, you know, divisional play, and it's a lot more fun. But I do buy in to some of the big games that you do have. And we saw that yesterday, case in point. I was watching and betting both Michigan State and Kansas, Duke and Kentucky. You see the way those games played out yesterday? Duke looked like they were going to smash Kentucky. Kentucky with a sensational second half, locked down on defense, and Duke just couldn't make shots. Cooper Flagg, 17 years old, he's a flat-out stud. 26 points, 12 rebounds, but gave the basketball away a couple times in the final moments to cost them the victory. Hunter Dickinson is on Social Security. He's got 28 points and 12 last night, leading a Kansas victory. I was upset because I took a couple losses yesterday. I put two out yesterday. One was four different guys to get 10 points or more. Three of those guys got 10 points. My favorite guy, too, Zeke Mayo for Kansas. And he is just lightning in a bottle, man. Smooth step-back three-point game. Can do it all. He did it all. He just didn't score enough points for me yesterday. Scored 6 points. Four of those points came really late. Didn't even have any points at the half, which cost me one of my parlays. The other ones, I had multiple guys, a couple guys to shoot three-point shots. They didn't make it. But I even put one in late at night when I saw my first one was going down. I didn't actually tweet that one out. But I lost that one, too. Because I needed 10 points out of a kid. Hold on. Let me just make sure. And it was the Duke-Kentucky game. Because I doubled down. I went flag 10 points, which, again, he scored easily. Also went Knuppel 10 points, which he scored easily. Got 14. Shot 20 times. By the way, flag shot 19 times. Knuppel shot 20 times. But I also went with Brea, which they wouldn't give me any three-point props on FanDuel. So I took him to score 10 points, scored 8 points. 2 of 4 from three-point range, which probably would have cashed that ticket. I would have went that route. But sometimes you live and die with those. I did win an NBA parlay a little bit later that night. It was a 30% boost live. I took it at the half. I need Steph Curry to basically make 2 3-point shots in the second half, which he did. And then I also needed 4 rebounds from Luka Doncic in the second half, which he got. So those were nice. Those came through. I like that. But I did lose money overall, which gets me upset. But the college basketball game, fun to watch both of those. But they were in Atlanta in an NBA arena. The Duke Blue Devils from three-point range, 4 of 23 in that game. At least Kentucky came to play, 40% shooters, 10 of 25. But even in game number one, you were taking a look at games like, you know, Kansas and Michigan State. Michigan State went 3 for 24 from the three-point line. It always does make it tough because you watch these games and you see them play out, but you have to understand the level of competition that really raises up. Like, Michigan State wasn't ranked, but a good basketball team. Like Michigan State, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, they don't play anybody the first game or two of the season. Then all of a sudden just level up as if you're in the Final Four on a neutral court. And sometimes the play does dictate that. It looked like in Kansas and Michigan State, that 30-24 first quarter, which I think was like 10-10, with the 10-minute mark, a very slow game, really picked up in the second half, 47-45. It was the opposite of what we got in game number two, Duke, Kentucky. That game was a barn burner in the first half. 46-37, then ground to a halt because Duke couldn't score in the second half, only scoring 26 points. But I think Duke's going to be a fun team to watch throughout the rest of the season. Obviously, Kansas is really deep and talented, starting with Hunter Dickinson in that lineup. But just watching it through, like I told you, I was really impressed watching the first couple games, looking at the statistics here for Mayo. Like, Mayo's one of those players that you say, like, okay, he's averaging 15.6 rebounds, 4 assists a game, and shooting 47% from the floor. Like, oh, man, how long has he been at Kansas for? How long has he played there? No, he's a transfer, man. It's a transfer market where some of these guys can actually really improve themselves, right? Stepping up to the next level, playing at a higher level. And Zeke Mayo's doing that. That's something that I'm going to watch. That's a good basketball team in Kansas that's extremely deep. So I had fun betting on it, but I would have had more fun if I actually won some of this stuff last night. The NBA is a little bit easier. A lot more track the function. You know me, I love myself some three-point props, can hit those. Also last night, I did have the FanDuel no sweat bet, which was for $50 in the NBA. I went Steph Curry to make 4 3-point shots. Got it. I went Karl Anthony Towns to make 2 3-point shots. Got that. Got that really early in the game. I think his first 2 shots were 3-point shots that both went down. But I then initially went with Luka Doncic to record a triple-double last night. I said, oh man, that price is good. Like juiced up, I think it was up like 12-1 at that point, including with the rest of the options there. So I was like, you know what? Let me be smart about this. I do think he gets a triple-double, but let's just make sure we have a little bit of insurance in case he actually gets close to that triple-double and doesn't get it, like he did, I believe, the night before. So I went 20 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. Luka Doncic finished that game, 31 points, 8 rebounds, but only 6 assists. So that was a tough one there. But again, you get the $50 back. You live to fight another day. But I thought that one's lined up really good. You always get those good vibes, too. First guy out of the gate, knocks it down right away. You feel good. Then we're just watching that Mavericks-Warrior game, and I would roll over every 25 minutes last night just to check in. Chris Warren says, Klay Thompson, three-point shots. Yeah, he was knocking them down. Splash Brothers, by the way, combined for 11 three-point shots made last night between the two. I think it was, what, six? Was it six? It was. I can't remember which way it was, six and five. I want to say it was six for the Warriors. Or six, for, excuse me, for Steph Curry in that game. Let me just dip into that box right here just to make sure I got that correct. Steph Curry made five, excuse me. Klay Thompson was the one that made six yesterday. That was a fun game to watch. I actually thought the Mavericks were the right play in that game with the 2.5 points. You see that final score, 120 to 117. Also yesterday, we're talking about NBA action, the Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers only getting 2.5 points. It looked a little bit off. And it was a heavy public play on the Knicks to be the favorite, but I thought that was the right side that won, 111 to 99. Sixers don't even get to the 100-yard marker. Paul George has a very good game, 29 points, 10 rebounds in that game, filling the stat sheet also with 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block. 29 total points, 7-11 from three-point range. Wasn't enough to get the job done. Why? Because Joel Embiid didn't show up. 26 minutes, 2-11 from the floor, 2-11 from the floor, 13 points. But I think the Philadelphia 76ers really found something with Jerry McCain. Another good effort. 23 points, knocking down 4 three-point shots. One more segment to go. Moneyline, right here on the Sports Grid Network, and I'm Donnie Wrightside.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash rules everything. By the way, people, this reminds us of the chat box. Like, I usually have some set topics that I want to get to and, like, get through, right? But the fact that I'm reading the chat box during the commercial break right now, and we're bringing up the Jake Paul fight, love it. I've been waiting for this fight, to be honest. And it's not just, oh, he's just hyping. No, I've actually wanted to see this. It's a sanctioned event, which you know what that means? There's legalized betting on it. The FanDuel Sportsbook does have it listed. Jake Paul, a minus 210 favorite. Mike Tyson, the underdog, plus 172. You can bet on this fight. It's 8 rounds, I believe, and 2-minute rounds. And it's on Netflix. I would never pay for this fight myself, but I do pay for Netflix. And it's on Netflix. I'm in. And what is it? It's Friday night at 11 o'clock, which is perfect. You know, your boy likes to get his sleep, but I don't work on Saturday. I 1000% am watching this boxing match. 1000%. Now, hear me out on this, too. Like, I see you out there, Chris. I'll bet Mike because we are contemporaries, but Jake should win the fight. I hear you on that. We all love Tyson. I wish the heavyweights of the 1980s, which weren't that good outside of Mike Tyson, but boxing was never on its more solid ground than Mike Tyson fighting in Atlantic City. It was must-watch television for a minute and a half, and he'd knock everybody out. It's a part of my childhood that I go back to and think very fondly of what the boxing game was back then. There were some heavyweights. There was Mike Tyson. You know, there were so many good middleweights. But as I digress, do you know why I actually think that he's going to win this year? Truthfully. Because the gravy train can't stop here. You see what I'm saying? Say what you want about Mike Tyson. Does he want to win? Yes, he's a boxing legend. True to form, he's saying all the right things. But Mike Tyson understands he's going to make a lot of money from this fight. That's why he took it. Not because he was, you know what, I'm just mad. I want to get in the ring and I want to end this guy's talk. Like, no, he's a businessman. He's made a ton of money. Look, made a ton of money in boxing back in the day, lost it all. He's probably making even more money now with all the stuff he's getting himself into, podcast. You know, selling cannabis, you know, just promoting his. He is a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy man, and rightfully so. But the gravy train stops if Mike Tyson wins this fight. Like, Tyson's not going to say, okay, I beat, you know, Jake Paul, and now I'm going to take that mantle, and I'm going to keep fighting. Well, Tyson's going to fight anymore. Almost like, you know what, you're getting up there in age. You probably shouldn't be fighting now, but this is a great spectacle that can make a lot of money, and we'll see what happens. And I agree with that. But if Jake Paul continues to beat these people, the gravy train will be there. Because quite frankly, every time Jake Paul fights, I'm interested. Because you know what usually happens? It ends in a knockout. Like, the YouTube Netflix boxing games with celebrity is better than actual boxing today. And that's not a lie. But it all ends. If Jake Paul loses in a split decision or gets knocked out, the gravy train and the spectacle and the circus, it's over. Nobody's going to care who Jake Paul fights next. He'll call him a loser. He got knocked out by an old man. And I sort of will jump on board to that as well. But if he does win, you will watch his next fight because he's probably going to pick an intriguing person once again and see if he can beat him. Can you imagine this fight? If Jake comes into this and knocks Mike Tyson out in like round three, people will still be like, oh, you knocked out him. But he still knocked out Mike Tyson. So they're going to want to see what he does next. If Mike Tyson puts an end to Jake Paul, that puts an end to his boxing empire. Nobody cares about Jake Paul anymore. Oh, he's going to come back and fight. Or then he's actually go pro at that point. But who will care? You'll say he got beat by like a 60-year-old old man in the ring. He can't fight with the young pups. But the one thing you got to give credit to Jake Paul, too, to be honest, man's got some heavy hands. Like, I know growing up, some people may not have been in fights. You always knew that one guy that's like, you know what? I have a lot of pride, but I hope this guy never wants to square up with me because I know he's got those heavy hands and those paws get put on you, it's going to hurt. He seems like he's that type of dude, man. Like when he throws punches, man, it's thunder shots. Boom. Rattling the core, man. Rattling that brain in your head. Knocking people. You know how hard it is? I'm telling you. You know how hard it is to knock people out? It's hard to do in a boxing ring. It is. And he continuously does that. So I am very intrigued. I'm glad the chat box was up to the tune for this final segment. Now, sports books, hear me out. We need boosts on this fight. Can you hear me, FanDuel? Bet365, Fanatics, DraftKings. We need boosts on this fight because I want to bet it. I just don't know if I want to bet a minus 210 on Jake Paul, even though I do think he wins. Give me like either a guy to win at plus 100 as a boost, minimum, maximum $50. We are in on that. But that will be something to watch on Friday night that I'm so glad I thought about again because now it's back in my cranium. I will be watching at 11 o'clock. I will have Netflix on. We will get down. We'll have some fun and watch it play out. But another great episode of Moneyline on display today. Kevin will be back for me tomorrow. A massive Thursday night football game between the Commanders and the Philadelphia Eagles. It only gets better. JP behind the wheels of steel. I'm Donnie Wrightside for a solo mission. I'll see you tomorrow right here again on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.